I'm going to preach for a little while on seven detours on the road that leads to hell. I want you to listen to it. I'm reading from Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 13th and the 14th verses. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Everybody under the sound of my voice tonight, you're either on one of those roads or the other. Either you're on the broad road that leads to hell, or you're on the narrow road that leads to heaven. Somebody said, I'm on neither road, I'm on the fence. You always want to watch them people, because every time they get out over the fence, they always get on the wrong side. I don't believe that there's any such thing as a man being on the fence. God said, I would that you be hot or cold, and if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out. You're either for God or you're against God. Jesus said, he that is not for me is against me. They came back and said, Lord, we found one casting out devils in your name. He didn't belong to our church. Jesus said, leave him alone. No man can speak lightly of me and cast out devils in my name. And he said, if he isn't scattering, he must be gathering. So he must be one of mine. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold, but they belong to me. But you're either definitely for God or you're against God. You can't occupy neutral ground. You're either walking day by day towards the city of God, towards the city of light, towards the city of joy, towards the city of peace, or you're walking day by day towards hell. You're going down that broad road where people are continually crying for water, where people are continually burning in torment, where their bodies on fire, and I believe it's a literal fire too, in a lake of fire, crying, cursing God. You're on one road or the other tonight. Which road are you on? The broad road is broad enough for adulterers, whoremongers, liars, thieves. But it's also broad enough for good mothers and good fathers that live good, moral, respectable lives, pay their bills and treat their fellow man right, but they never have been born again. When we get to the judgment bar of God, we're going to find out people went to hell by the trainload. Not because they smoked, not because they stole, not because they lied, not because they drank, but because they never did get born again and give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. I know a lot of people that try to figure out another way to be saved. Be sincere. You'll make it all right. You won't do anything of the kind. You can be sincere. The Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Brother, you're either born again or you will not enter the kingdom of God. I don't care how many times you go to the priest. I don't care how many times he puts holy water on you. I don't care if he drowns you in holy water. If you don't get born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. I don't believe your church membership has a thing in the world with you to getting in heaven. I don't believe the church you joined or the Bible that you've got or the preacher's hand that you shook will ever get you into the kingdom of God. I believe there's only one thing that'll save a man, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your heart and life and washing away your sin. The Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And he fell on his knees. Paul didn't say, give to the Red Cross. He didn't say, join up and give to the Community Chest Fund. He didn't say, join the Baptist Church. He didn't say, sign a card and get in the Methodist Church. He didn't say, become Pentecost. But he said, repent of your sins and profess the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved in your household. Brother, you can be saved right where you're sitting tonight. You can be saved at home by the side of your bed. You can be saved riding down the road in your car. Man does not save you. Mother does not save you. But it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary that washes away your sins. Do you believe that? Say amen. You know, I've been to Indianapolis, St. Paul, and a lot of the major cities. As I was driving down the road coming into St. Paul, lots of times the highway would divide off in several different lanes. They had a lane for people that wanted to drive 30 miles an hour. They had a lane for people that wanted to drive 40 miles an hour. They had a lane for people that wanted to drive 50 miles an hour. You could get in any lane you want to and drive just as fast as you wanted to. That's just the same way the broad road is that leads to hell. There's a lane for people that want to go to hell fast, that drink, that dance, that smoke, that run around with somebody else's wife. They're going to hell 60 miles an hour. But there's also a lane for people who want to go to hell and a little bit more conservative. They go to church. They pay the preacher. They testify, but yet they don't live for God. They cheat in business. They lie on their fellow man. They talk about their neighbor. They're going to hell too, only not quite as fast. And then there's a lane for people who want to go to hell 30 miles an hour that are good mothers and good fathers and good respectable citizens that pay their bills and treat their fellow man right and do a lot for charity. Wouldn't do anything to hurt anybody, but they've never been born again. They have never been born again. They're going to the same hell that the adulterer, the whoremonger, and the liar's going to. Brother, you've got to be born again if you see the kingdom of God. Over the prison door here in the United States, over the death cell, is written these words over the door. All who enter this door leave all hope behind. I'll tell you, if it was possible tonight, I'd like to take a fiery pencil. And I'd like to write them same words over the door of hell. All who enter hell leave all hope behind. I've had people say to me, Brother Cole, isn't it possible for a person to go to purgatory, a place of mediation for the soul, then I pay somebody so much and then pray them out of purgatory? Brother, I've searched the Bible from cover to cover, and I find no hope for a man or a woman that dies without Jesus Christ. The only chance you have to find God is in this life. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. I find no place in the Word of God where God ever saved anybody after they was in hell. Somebody said, what about the time that Jesus descended from the cross and went down into the bowels of the earth and preached to those in prison and led a host of captives free? Brother, them people were in paradise. They were in paradise because the Bible said the rich man looked across out of hell, being in torment, and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he said, send Lazarus across that gulf to touch my mouth with the water, for I am tormented in these flames. And God said, I can't send him across because there's a great gulf fixed between. Or Abraham said, there's a great gulf fixed between us and you, and it would be impossible. He said, then send him back and let him warn my brothers so they won't come to this awful place. And he said, if they won't hear the prophets, if they won't hear Jack Coe in Washington, D.C., even though one rose from the dead and come back and preach to them, they wouldn't believe that either. And so there's no use of sending them back. Did you hear me? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Man has tried to figure out every way in the world to get to heaven. Christian Science come along and said, think good and do good and you'll make it all right. Unity comes along and says, be Unitarian. And have the right thoughts in your mind and you'll make it all right. Somebody else comes along and says, do this and do that and you'll make it all right. But brother, you'll never make it by keeping rituals and codes and man's doctrines. The only way you'll ever make it is getting down on your knees and making peace with God. How many believe that? Say amen. I know a man that caught a streetcar in Cincinnati, Ohio. Got on the streetcar and he said to the cop on the corner before he boarded the streetcar, he said, how far is it to the zoo? The man said, it's 9 miles. He got on the streetcar and he read his newspaper. Finally, the car came to a stop. At the end of the line, the conductor said, "Get off." He went up to the conductor and he said, "Conductor, how far is it to the zoo?" He said, 18 miles. "Why," he said, "man, it was only 9 miles when I got off." He said, "You must have caught the car going the wrong direction. Said, instead of riding to the zoo, you've been riding away from the zoo all the time." That man said, "The thing that surprised me, I was sitting there reading my paper, thinking all the time that I was on my way to the zoo." And he said, "It was a total surprise when I woke up at the other end of the line." There's a lot of people sitting up in our old dead churches tonight in Washington, D.C., that think they're on their way to heaven. They're sitting up there singing out of a hymn book, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." They're even talking about God and testifying about God, but they're on the car going the wrong direction. And they're going to wake up in hell and find out instead of going to heaven, they went to hell. Did you hear me? The Bible said, "Enoch walked with God." He didn't say walk with the country club. He didn't say walk with the golf club. He didn't say walk with the church. He didn't say made pink lemonade. But the Bible said he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Brother, if you ever get into the kingdom of God, you're going to have to walk with God. You're going to have to turn your back on sin and on the world and the things of the world and place your hand in God's hand and walk with God. Do you believe that? Say amen. You know, lots of times I've been driving down the road on a highway going somewhere. And all of a sudden I'd see a great big red light before me. And that light would be going on and off. Maybe it'd be pouring down rain. And I'd get up close to that light. Underneath it in red letters was the letters "Danger, Detour." A mirror pointing off down some muddy road. And I'd turn off of that road that I was on and I'd start down that muddy road. Driving that car, sometimes the road was so bad and the rain was so bad that lots of times I turned my car around and went back to the town I came from and spent the night until daylight come till I could see my way. Now, I believe that's the same way the broad road is that leads to hell. God has placed detour signs all up and down that road to try to turn you off of that broad road and get you on the narrow road. God has placed those detours flickering, saying, "Danger, detour." And if you'll only turn yourself around and get off of the broad road that leads to hell, you'll find peace with God and walk with God. One of those detours that I'm thinking of tonight is God's blessed old word. That old word of God has turned more people from the broad road that leads to hell and put them on the narrow road that leads to the city of God than any other thing I can think of. Brother, atheists have tried to do away with that old book. Agnostics have disbelieved it. Kings have burned it. They've done away with it. They've called it false. But, brother, they've never been able to stomp it out. Tonight, there's more Bibles printed than any other book in the United States of America. The Bibles are falling from the printing press like autumn leaves in an autumn forest. Brother, heaven and earth, God said, shall pass away. But thank God not a word of this word of God will ever pass away. Because it's God's divine, inspired word of God. One man said to me one time, "Preacher, didn't you know there was 5,000 mistakes in the Bible?" I said, "Didn't you know you're the biggest liar I ever run into anywhere? I don't believe there's a mistake anywhere in the word of God. I believe every little if and every little and every little that." Brother, I believe if God wrote that word to begin with, he's big enough to take care of it and protect it and hand it to us tonight, undefiled by man. He said, "He that addeth to this word or take away from this word, he'll add his part in the lake of brimstone and fire." Brother, I believe you add to your torment if you add to the word of God or take away from God's blessed old book. How many believe that? Say amen. The word of God is one of the greatest detours I know of tonight. Even though Stalin hated it, Hitler couldn't stand it, Mussolini detested it, thank God it outlived all of them. Hallelujah. They tried to burn it. They tried to destroy it. But I'll tell you, if they destroyed every Bible in the United States and every Bible in the world, I'd be like the psalmist David. I'd stand and cry, hid in my heart the word of God that I might not sin against you. Oh, hallelujah. I believe you can hide those passages in your heart. And I believe when a bunch like this could get together and all of us quote the scriptures that we know, we could almost rewrite the Bible back again, even if there wasn't a Bible here anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's God's love letter to the church. It tells about the city of gold. It tells about the awful plague tale. It tells about a man that laid down his life that we might have eternal life. It tells about the love of God, the peace of God. It tells about how God can make the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. Brother, it's God's blessed old book tonight. I'll never forget a man dying down in Athens, Texas, in the old poor home, poor farm. Called for a preacher there in Athens and asked him to come and stand by his bed. That preacher went and stood by this old man's bed and took his hand in his. The preacher bowed his head and started to pray. The old man said, "Preacher, before you pray," he said, "I'd like to tell you how I've lived." The preacher said, "You don't have to." He said, "No, but I want to. I want to tell you how I've lived." He said, "All my life I've been a drunkard. All my life," he said, "I've cursed God." He said, "Ever since I can remember," he said, "I've been a person that would do everything mean that I could do." He said, "I run off from Chicago and left a wife with 5 children without any support." He said, "I killed a man, buried his body, and said to this day they've never caught me." Then he looked up at that preacher and he said, "Now, preacher, is there any hope for a man like me?" That preacher looked at that old man and he said, "I was dumbfounded." He said, "Finally," he said, "I had his hand in mine," and he said, "the scripture dropped into my mind. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He said, "I looked at that old man and I said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He said, "I didn't feel like saying anything else. I didn't feel like praying, but I folded my Bible under my arms and walked away." He said, 3 days later, I met the superintendent of the poor farm on the streets of Athens. And he said, I said to him, "What happened to the old man that I was called to his bedside the other morning?" He said, "The old man passed away yesterday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. But," he said, "that was one of the strangest men I ever saw." The preacher said, "Why?" He said, "All the time he was dying, he laid there and kept mumbling something to himself." And he said, me wondering what he was saying, he said, "I put my ear down as close to him as I could get." And he said, "This is what he was saying. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And he said, when he went to die, he had a smile all over his face. And he said, the last words he said was, "He that cometh to me." And then he said, "Lord, I'm coming." And he closed his eyes and he died. What was it? It was the word of God that turned another soul from the broad road that led to hell and put him on the narrow road that led to the city of God. I wish I had time to tell you all about it. The boy that was dying in the foxhole in France during the last war. He had a little Bible in his pocket that his mother had sent him from Sears and Roebuck. Scrapnel had filled his body. I worked with the medical corps on the Iran and Bazertian Salino. On the Arcadia ship, we brought the wounded back from overseas. This boy was laying there dying with a scrapnel in his body. And he took his little testament that his mother sent him from Sears and Roebuck that she bought and opened it up and began to read it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." They came and they picked him up and put him on a gurney or a stretcher and carried him to the evacuation hospital. He laid there dying. One of the nurses came down by the bed, knelt down by his side, took his hand in hers and said, "Soldier, I've got bad news for you." He said, "I know." She said, "The great commander is going to call you home." She said, is there anything I could do for you before you go? He said, yes, you could do me one favor. He said, reach down there and get my khaki shirt. In that khaki shirt, you'll find a little Bible my mama sent me. He said, turn over there where it's marked with blood, because he said, my hands were bloody. And he said, read that scripture, John 3:16. The nurse reached down with a trembling hand and got the Bible out and opened it up. She began to read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That nurse looked over at him with her tears streaming down her cheeks. She said, let me and you find that life together. Right there, that nurse bowed her head and accepted Jesus. That soldier boy wept his way through to God. The soldier boy died and went on to be with Jesus. But the nurse came back to the hospital to tell how the Word of God turned two more souls off of the broad road that led to hell and put them on the narrow road that led to the city of God. Brother, I know the Bible tonight has turned more people off of the broad road that leads to hell than any other thing I can think of. But I'm thinking of another detour tonight. That other detour I'm thinking of is mother's prayer. Praying, mothers, is a detour on that broad road that led to hell. Thousands of people under the sound of my voice tonight, the only reason you're a Christian is because you had a mother that knew how to pray. You had a mother that stayed by the side of her bed and held on to God and wept and cried until God heard her prayer and reached down and saved your soul. Mother's prayers. Mother's prayers have changed the destiny of a nation. Mother's prayers have stopped wars. Mother's prayers have saved boys from the gallows. Mother's prayers have jerked boys out of the electric chair in the last minute. Yes, I have. Thank God for our praying mothers. I'll tell you, we need a few more of them in America today. Our average mother today, instead of getting over the baby's bed and crying and praying over the baby, they get over the baby's bed and put cigarette ashes on the baby's head, curse and swear because the baby won't go to sleep where she can go out to a honky-tonk or a hellhole. It's the truth. God, give us more mothers that'll get down by the side of the bed and pray and hold on to God until they see their children come and kneel and give their hearts to God. Can you say amen? Mother's prayer. The reason I'm in this pulpit tonight is because I had a mother that knew how to pray. My mother hadn't been saved long. I was saved before my mother was and led my mother to God. My mother was 72 years old. And I'll never forget when I got my call to go away to the army. I joined the army. I wasn't drafted, but God called me into the army. The night I got ready to go, I'll never forget, we met at my mother's house. Me and my wife wasn't my wife then. She was my girlfriend. But I went there to tell them all goodbye. And I'll never forget, we got out in the living room to pray. And I'll never forget my mother's prayers as long as I live. I got through before she did, and I sit down in the chair, looked across the room and saw my old gray-haired mother kneeling there in the light. Her hair had turned white. She was 72 years old, but she looked like she was 21 to me. And I heard her say, God, take care of my boy. God put a host of angels around about him. God, don't let any bullet come near him. God, guide him and direct him and take care of him and help him to win many souls for Jesus. Then bring him back safe to me, and I'll praise you, God, for it the rest of the days of my life. I heard her pray it. I'll never forget, I went over and picked her up off of her knees, held her in my arms and kissed her. And I said, Mama, I'll be back. She said, I know you will, son. I'm not worried. She said, I've committed you to God, and he's able to take care of you. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Mother's prayer. Mother's prayer. God, give us more praying mothers. I could name several of the detours on the road to hell. Preachers, Sunday school teachers, radio program. But I'm going to skip by them all and name the last two. If you can laugh in the face of the Word of God and not get saved. If you can walk by a mother that prayed for you and cried for you and sought God for you and not get saved. If you can go by churches and Sunday school teachers and preachers that have begged you and told you what Jesus done for you. And you can go by all of them and still not be saved and still stay on that broad road. For God's sake, don't pass up this last detour I'm going to tell you about tonight. If you pass this last detour tonight, you'll be eternally doomed and damned forever. If you pass this last detour tonight, there's no hope for you. Somebody said, Brother Cole, what is that last detour? It's none other than Jesus Christ, crucified by the side of the broad road that leads to heaven. The nails in the palm of his hand, the crown of thorns on his head, the stripes on his back for your healing. The nail-pierced feet, the blood trickling down the beam. For God's sake, if you can go by that and laugh in the face of that, you'll never be saved. You're eternally doomed. You're dead. There's no hope for you if you can go by that. For God's sake, don't pass him by. I said, don't pass him by, whatever you do. Listen, the farther you go down that broad road that leads to hell, the harder it is to turn around and go back. The farther you go down that broad road that leads to hell, the steeper the road gets. And the faster you go. Very few people after they reach the age of 21 ever get saved. Very, very, very few people ever get saved after they reach the age of 50. It's very rare. You know why? Because people get set in their ways and they think the way they're going is right. That's the reason the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. The farther you go down that broad road that leads to hell, the harder it'll be to turn around and go back. I'll never forget, I read a story about a man that operated a stagecoach in the mountains of Kentucky. They said sometimes he had 6 horses and sometimes 8 horses hooked onto the stage. The story said that he'd stop and he'd drink at every bar he came to. Said he'd dance with women and get drunk and lay drunk for days at a time. One night he fell sick, and he laid on his deathbed dying. He kept his foot out from and under the cover and kept mumbling something all the time with his foot out from and under the cover. Person after person came to see him and said, "What's Jim mumbling about?" And they said, "We don't know." Finally, Charlie came in, and Charlie said, "Is he going to die?" And they said, "Yes." "What's he mumbling about?" And they said, "We don't know." Charlie said, "I've got to know." They said, "You can't talk to him. He's in critical condition." He said, "Listen, I've got to know what he's mumbling about. If he's going to die, it won't hurt me for me to ask him." He went in and he took a hold of him and he shook him and he said, Jim, this is Charlie. What are you mumbling about?" Charlie said, "Jim." Jim said, "Charlie, I'm going down one of the steepest grades I've ever been down." He said, "I've got 8 horses hooked on tonight." He said, "Can't you see that curve? If I don't make that curve," he said, "I'll be dashed over that hill and be killed on them rocks below." He said, "My foot's too short and I can't reach the brake." He said, "I'm going down one of the steepest grades I've ever been down. My foot's too short. I can't reach the brake. I'm going down one of the steepest grades I've ever been down. My foot's too short. I can't reach the brake. For God's sake, pray. My foot's too short. I can't reach the brake. I'm going down one of the steepest grades I've ever been down." Finally, he closed his eyes and fell back on his pillow. The last words he said was, "I'm going down one of the steepest grades I've ever been down. My foot's too short and I can't reach the brake. Won't somebody help me?" Listen, one of these times you're going to go down the steepest grades you've ever been down. If you don't get right with God, your foot will be too short. and you won't be able to reach the break, and you'll go over the cliff and die in hell and burn forever and ever. I'm telling you this in closing. I'll never forget Mr. and Mrs. Thomason's daughter in Fort Worth, Texas, laid on a bed dying. Doctors had given her up. For 3 long years, her body had wasted away until she was nothing but bones of skin stretched over. She had a dream. She dreamed she was going down a broad road, and all of a sudden she came to a narrow road that went up a hill. She thought, I'd love to go up that narrow road. There's something about that narrow road that's pulling me. She turned to all the people on the broad road and said, won't you help me up that narrow road? But they said, no, it's too easy to go down the broad road. If you go the narrow road, you'll have to go alone. That poor sick girl had been sick so long, she said, in her weak condition. She said, I believe I'll try to climb that hill. She began to try to climb it, and her steps got slower and slower. Finally, she got so slow, and her knees gave way, and she got out on her hands and knees and began to crawl. She said, finally, when she felt like she'd gone as far as she could go, and she was about ready to give up, she said she heard some of the most beautiful music she'd ever heard. She said, I looked, and there was 2 beautiful gates in front of me. And said, them gates opened up. And said, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into those gates with his nail-pierced hands, stretched out towards me. And he said, child, you're not going to come today. But he said, I'm going to come and get you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. She said, but Lord, I can't climb that hill again alone. I'll never make it. I'm too weak. He said, tomorrow, you won't have to climb it by yourself. He said, I'll be with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord my God is with me. Hallelujah! He said, at 10 o'clock tomorrow, I'll be at you. She awoke from that vision or dream that she had. She called her mother and dad, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas, into the room, and her brother. And she said, I'm not going to die tonight. She said, you all go and go to bed and get a night's rest. And said, I'm going to go at 10 o'clock tomorrow. She told them the vision of the dream she had. And they all went in and went to bed. At 9 o'clock the next morning, she called them all back into the room again. She said, brother, take your violin and begin to play. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And a brother took his violin and began to play. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. 5 minutes till 10 came. A smile filled her face. Her mother said to her, honey, are you going to make the trip now? She said, yes, mother. He's standing right behind you in the room. He's coming over to the side of my bed now. It's almost time for us to start climbing. She said, I feel his strong hand in mine. And the mother said, no, honey, that's mother's hand. She said, no, mother. She said, I'm not there, the one you've got your hand. She said, turn around and you'll see me. And the mother said, I turned around and there standing by the bed of my dead daughter stood my alive daughter. Just for a minute, she said, I looked at her. And then she said, she disappeared. A smile come on her face of the one that was laying in bed. And the last word she said was, I'm making the journey now. And closed her eyes and went to be with Jesus. Friend, if you'll get off of that broad road that leads to hell tonight, and get on the narrow road that leads to the city of God, you'll find joy and peace and love in serving God. Church membership won't give it to you. Shaking preachers' hands won't give it to you. Signing cards won't give it to you. But if you get born again, it's one of the happiest lives you ever lived in your life. Sometimes God lets sorrow come into your home to try to wake you up, to get you off of the broad road and get you on the narrow road. Give your heart to God tonight. Slip your hand in the nail-pierced hand and say, Jesus, I'm not going to pass you by. I'm going to walk with you and talk with you. How many say amen to that? Bow your heads and close your eyes all over this tent. I want to make an appeal to you tonight. I'm not going to call you down front to pray, but I'm going to pray for you back in your seat because I want to pray for a healing line. But I believe you can get saved right where you're at. I believe if you make up your mind tonight to turn from sin and from the ways of the devil and give God your heart, He'll take the sin out of your life. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and give you joy and peace. How many believe that? Somebody said it's too hard to live a Christian life. You have it wrong, friend. The way of the transgressor is hard, but the way of the righteous is easy. Their burdens are light. I want you to think of it tonight. How many under this tent tonight would raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me that I'll make peace with God before it's too late? Put your hand up high. Put it up high. I want to get off of the broad road and get on the narrow road. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Fine. How many more would slip your hand up and say, just pray for me in this prayer? I'm not asking you to come to an altar. I want to know if you want me to pray for you that God will save you before it's too late. Surely you want me to pray for you. Everyone that raised your hand, if you meant that, stand up right where you are. Repeat this prayer after me with your eyes closed and your hand raised. Say, Jesus. Take me as I am.
Take me as I am.
Wash me in thy blood.
Wash me in thy blood.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Lord, from tonight on.
Lord, from tonight on.
I'm going to live for you.
I'm going to live for you.
I'm going to serve you.
I'm going to serve you.
I'm going to walk with you.
I'm going to walk with you.
Till the day I die.
Till the day I die.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because you're giving me power over these things. Thank you, Jesus. Raise both hands and praise Him. Raise both hands and praise Him for saving your soul tonight. Praise Him.